25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And as we consider these words tonight, I'd like us to consider good news for sinners and saints. Good news for sinners and saints. The congregation, Isaiah, in presenting the welcome news of Christ and his kingdom, wrote in Isaiah 52, verse 7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." And as we know in light of the New Testament, particularly we consider there the welcome news of Christ and his kingdom. However, first of all, there we consider the welcome news, the good tidings of deliverance for the Jews, and what welcome news that was. But how more welcome is the news of deliverance through Jesus Christ? It brings joy. Matthew Henry wrote, "It is here spoken of as a great blessing, which ought to be welcomed with abundance of joy and thankfulness." Let me ask you, therefore, straight at the beginning of the sermon tonight, is it welcome news to you? Are you thankful for the gospel? As we will see a little later, there is good news for saints. Are you thankful this evening hour that Christ came into the world to redeem? Are you rejoicing in Christ? We read in Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Are we rejoicing in Christ? How often we're to tell him that we love him. Have you told him today that you love him? Are you found rejoicing in him? Is the gospel welcome news to you? Is it good news to you tonight? What good news it is. But then consider further. There is the good news of strength and comfort, direct and support, deliverance. What good news this is, we find in the Word of God. News from heaven for the Lord's people. They've been blessed in the gospel, and there's help for them on their journey. And there's the better country awaiting them. There's the news of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What welcome news this is. The good news for us at the commencement of this week, that he will lead us on and he will help us. But here tonight we come to one of the most well-known proverbs, which was given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Many are attributed to Solomon. So we read in Proverbs 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. We have a proverb. We could say a parable, a short discourse. Reverend John Brown of Huntington writes, a short sentence containing much sense. A short sentence containing much sense. Just notice verse 27. There's much sense here, isn't there? It is not good to eat much honey, for so men to search their own glory is not good. Well, we may be familiar with a number of the Proverbs, particularly Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And in those well-known words, which have been a help to parents, in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, tonight we come to this well-known proverb that's called waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Well, tonight as we come to this proverb again, I'd like us to consider it in two lights, or under two heads. First of all, good news for the sinner, but then secondly, good news for the saint. First of all, good news for the sinner. As called waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now we're led in the proverb to consider a thirsty soul, as called waters to a thirsty soul. And we think first of all, here in the proverb, of the refreshing cool waters that bring refreshment or relief to a thirsty soul, one that is thirsty. When you're working outside in the heat of the day, a cold drink brings refreshment. My wife the other day was told to sit down. She'd been working hard in this big house in Salisbury, and she was brought out a glass of cool Coke, the original brand as well. And it was refreshing. Children, in the summer, you get hot, don't you? And ice cream is in order. Or some squash out of the fridge. Think of the labourers out in the field working hard hour after hour in the summer heat. They brought water. You think at this present time out in Ukraine, water bottles have been sent to bring refreshment to those who've known such hardship and have been weak and weary and thirsty. Cold water is refreshing. And you think of the effect of having cold water or cold drink. It brings that refreshment and it brings that strengthening. Before, one is thirsty, but now there's a little reviving and there is refreshment. Cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Well, let's think a little further tonight of the thirsty soul. I'd like us to consider first of all tonight the thirsty soul without Christ. The thirsty soul without Christ. Men by nature have a natural thirst after something. And we see that in Isaiah 55 verse 2. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. We think of there one who's got a natural hunger for something, but it's not bread. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who have a natural thirst, but they're not thirsting after the Lord Jesus Christ and that life through him. We see there plainly, though there is this thirst, many look in the wrong direction. They look in the wrong direction and at the same time they refuse the invitation. Men want satisfaction. They're hungry by nature, they're thirsty by nature. Men want happiness, and they thirst after that. They want to know peace, though they may not admit it. They thirst after that. They want something to satisfy their soul's longing. How they spend money for that which is not bread. The money is weighed and given. There is this hunger, there is this thirsting after something. Many spend more and more money on tickets, hoping to get much in return. Many are looking for satisfaction in this world. They're thirsting after it. They want more. Many go after sinful pleasures, and there is a sinful thirst. We read a bit in Deuteronomy 29, verses 18 to 19, lest there should be any among you, or woman, or family, or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. There's a sinful thirst, as we see there in Deuteronomy. There's an eager desire after sin. That's a sinful thirst. Maybe immoral behavior, drunkenness, so many things. So many are not satisfied, and so they have a sinful thirst for more and more. It's the slippery path. How many tonight are going in the wrong direction? They're seeking happiness, they're seeking peace, but they're not seeking that true happiness. They're not seeking that true peace. Yet they think they're doing what's right. What do we read in Proverbs 14, verse 12? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right to them, and so they keep thirsting after these sinful things. They keep hungering after that which is not bread. They think it's right. How many think us wrong to be believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of us think us wrong to believe the truth of creation? They're wrong, they say. They go on in a way they think is right, but it's not. What do we read in Proverbs 14, verse 12? The end thereof are the ways of death. Well, returning to Isaiah 55, verse 2, we read, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Wherefore? Why? Is the question coming to someone here tonight or listening online? Wherefore do you spend? Why? Why continue in this path? Why? Consider the Lord's reasoning there through his servant Isaiah. So men by nature have a natural thirst after something, but it's not Jesus Christ and life through him. The good news, it is good news, is not something that brings them refreshment. They don't see it as good news. If they did, they'd be lining up at the door tonight to hear the gospel. If they thought the gospel was really good news to them, they would line up at the vestry door afterwards to speak about their soul in the open air. If they thought it was good news, they would gather around and sit for hour after hour to hear the preaching of the gospel. But many do not see the gospel as good news. The gospel is rejected. In Romans 10, verse 16, we read, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? They have not obeyed the gospel. For them they see it not as good news, and it has not brought them refreshment. As cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. But it's not to so many. The gospel is rejected. Oh, that eyes would be open. Oh, that yet it would be good news to so many, that the Lord would draw people to himself. They may hear the gospel, but it brings no refreshment to them. So on they go searching. However, in effectual calling, one is convicted of sin and shown the suitableness of Christ and their need of him. When the Lord is saving, drawing a sinner to himself, they're convicted to some measure. They're led to see the suitableness of Christ. They're thirsty. Here's the gospel. It's good news. Have you been brought to that time, that season, when you received the gospel as good news? Through grace, one is drawn as a thirsty man to reach out by faith. Have you been brought to reach out by faith and embrace Christ, as we see in Psalm 2, verse 12? What a blessing. We were led to see our need of Jesus, and we hungered and thirsted after him, as we see in Matthew chapter 5, having been shown the suitableness of him. And the gospel now, it brought refreshment. When the Lord is saving and effectual calling, one feels to some measure the heat of God's law and the wrath of God upon them, and they with a thirst cry out to the Lord, and through grace are found embracing him. It's good news now. For many years it was not good news, but for the one the Lord is saving and effectual calling, then it becomes good news. Is the good news of the gospel simply good news for you? Have you been led to receive? Or just consider the gospel. It is good news, isn't it? Sadly, so many do not see it as good news, but it is. It brings refreshment to those who receive peace and joy. What do we read in Isaiah 40, verse 9? O Zion, that bringeth good tidings. Get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. What news it is. Through Christ there is reconciliation. There's salvation. And there's peace. Be not afraid. Oh, what good news the gospel is. Let me ask you, is the good news of Jesus Christ good news to you tonight? Just notice in a little more detail, what do we read in verse 25? So is good news from a far country. Think of news that comes from another country in the world. Maybe you hear of some friend and the phone rings. Or an email is sent, I'm safe, all is well. And that's good news from another country. But let's think of the good news from the far country of heaven. There's none like it. And what joy it brings to the heart who receives such news. Heaven is a wonderful place, and there the Lord is known in his immediate presence. And the news comes from heaven through the word. It's the news from a far country. And we need to hear good news. We live another week and we know there's not much good news in this world. We hear of crime and violence. We continue to witness on the television screens, or we listen to the radio, what's happening in Ukraine and all the deaths there. We continue to hear of what's happening in other places, how the Lord's people are persecuted in North Korea, and added on top to this now, the pandemic is raging in that country and they have so little to fight it. There's not much good news, is there, in this world? But what news from the far countries? the far country of heaven, it's good. Think further of the news in this world, there's the news of sin and punishment, and that's not good, is it? But the news from heaven, the gospel of Jesus Christ, brings such good news to those who receive. The gospel is good news. It is good news for sinners. In Luke 2 verse 10 we read, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. I bring you good tidings of great joy. It's the gospel, isn't it? And for those shepherds whose lives were changed, they received it as good news, the good news of Christ. It's interesting, isn't it? Many hear those words. Glad tidings of great joy, but it's not to them. What about you? Are those words of the angel to those shepherds good news to you? Because it concerns your Saviour, the news of Jesus Christ, who came into the world to redeem, that he is the way and there is life through him, and there is heaven opened for those who believe. What news that is? The best news is the news from the far country. Ebenezer Erskine, writing concerning the gospel, it brings the most joyful message unto lost sinners that ever was heard. The most joyful message. What a message it is. My sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. I am accepted. I'm justified. And heaven is before me. Is it good news to you tonight? Or is it, well, yes, the Bible says it's good news, but it's not really good news to me. I don't thirst after it. I don't hunger after it. I will go on my way and look for something else. I pray there's no one here in that situation. Here's the best news a sinner can hear. The news of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you. Is it really the best news you've ever heard, and you're living in the light of it, and you desire others to know what news it is? However, is there someone here rejecting this news? Or listening online, you're rejecting this news? Oh, be warned, there is judgment now and to come. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, with the Lord Jesus, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be punished with everlasting destruction for the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What a solemn warning for those who reject the gospel, those who reject the good tidings of Jesus Christ. With love in my heart, I must solemnly tell you these things. That's not good news, is it? But in contrast, no wonder we read in Psalm 89 verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They've received it and they know it. What a blessing to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've all heard of him. Do you know him? You've all heard the gospel. Do you know this gospel? You who do, you're blessed. You're so blessed, aren't you? It is good news to you. Yes, it is good news, but it's good news to you. And you know the Saviour. What a blessing. Good news for the sinner. Well, let's consider secondly now. Good news for the saint. Good news for the saint. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's still good news, isn't it? It's an evidence that you have been refreshed in the gospel, that it's still good news. That's true, isn't it? It's good news for the saint. And are we not thankful for the gospel? Let me illustrate this. The Apostle Paul, he was so thankful. And what did he write under inspiration in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. And there he is, a believer. He kept going back and considering what the Lord had done and the gift there is in him. And he was lost for words. Good news for the sinner, but it's good news for the saint. And it's evident that we have received the good news, but we still rejoice in the good news. And we're found lost for words at times as we think of Jesus. Are we thankful? It's good news for the saint. What news? What a gospel it is. He loved me. And he came into this world. He lived for me. He kept the law perfectly for me. And then he suffered and died upon the cross. It's good news. And I rejoice afresh. As I come around the table, I'm thankful for what my Saviour did for me all those years ago. And I look up to him. And I enjoy that spiritual fellowship. And then I look forward to being with him. And as I look forward, I am so thankful for the gospel. It's good news for the saint, isn't it? They still keep rejoicing in the gospel. Yes, they come to stormy weather. They come to low times, but all other times when they rejoice in the gospel and praise is offered in view of Jesus. Revelation 5 verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. There's the people rejoicing in Christ, rejoicing in the gospel. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. What are they doing in heaven? They're rejoicing in the gospel. Let's join in with them. Worthy is the Lamb. It's good news to us, isn't it? One of old wrote, tell me the old story of Jesus and his love. We want to go back. We want to hear it again. It does us good, does it not? And it makes me desire to speak of it. A certain blind lady wrote these words, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. You know, it does us good, does it not, to hear the gospel? You think it's the best news you've ever heard, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. It does us good to hear it again. What's one of the fruits of hearing the gospel again? Of what the Saviour has done for my soul, it can settle the mind. You know, I thought a little earlier in the week of the gospel and of eternity. It puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? It can settle the mind. We often can be weary, perplexed, but then we hear the gospel of our Saviour and what he has done for us, that he accomplished redemption, and there is the application, and therefore we take great comfort. He will see us through. Oh, what news it is from heaven. And are we not thankful God has spoken to us? We've heard this gospel. It does us good. It's good to hear good news from other countries. What the Lord is doing. The Lord is doing great things in Iran. If I could just bring this home to you. If we saw what the Lord was doing in Iran at this time, things would be so different in this country. There'd be so many crying out, what must I do to be saved? Doors are opening in Afghanistan and other places. What the Lord is doing in South America, a great hunger for the word of God. I remember the former general secretary a few years ago speaking of the hunger for the word of God in South America. And he had such a smile on his face. So things are happening. We're told that many young people are turning from Rome to Christ. Believing in him. In China, the news from there, despite great persecution, they cannot stop, like Pharaoh could not stop, the advance of the gospel. The church is growing in China. It's good to have the missionary prayer meeting, isn't it? Once a month, so we can hear of what God is doing in this world, so that then we can get to the world on our knees at the meeting. It's good news, isn't it, from a far country, but consider the good news from heaven. God keeps speaking to us through his word. What news it is. The Holy Spirit takes the word and applies it, and it comes home to the soul. And we're left thinking, the Lord's speaking to me. My beloved Saviour's speaking to me. It's the voice of my beloved. Are you listening often to the good news of the gospel, but then the many other things that make up that which is good in the Word of God? To hear the Saviour's voice is a precious thing. Now we can be weary at times under the heat of affliction, and we get thirsty as believers. I remember a number of years ago in my first employment, walking miles each day in the summertime, checking the pots of plants on the edge of those beds to see if the irrigation sprinklers had done their job. I would walk miles in the summer heat, and the sun was beating down upon my head. Sometimes I would dash under the sprinklers to get refreshment, but often I would have some water to drink. I'd often get weary, and we do get weary in this world, under the heat of affliction. Or through the long days of work, we know what thirst is. We know what it is to be faint, exhausted, weary, and we need that little reviving. We need that refreshing. Psalm 63 verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. It's a dry and thirsty land. Yes, there are some enjoyment. But it's a dry and thirsty land, and we find ourselves thirsting after the Lord and the news from heaven. At times we can struggle with low force. We can struggle in the workplace. We can struggle in the heat of the battle with Satan. We can struggle through long days, but through long nights as well. Mental energy is used and we feel drained. At times we can be like that bottle in the smoke. Come with me to Psalm 119, verse 83. For I become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. The psalmist felt like a bottle in the smoke. A bottle made of skin, which would put in the smoke and hung there. And it would become black and parched and dry. It speaks of an uncomfortable place, and we find ourselves in such a place at times. The psalmist was in trial. He felt the hiding of God's face. He was struggling with sin. It wasn't easy for him. And yes, there's times like that for us. He was weary with looking. Thomas Manton wrote he had looked long. He had looked long till he was weary of looking. He was waiting. He was so thirsty to hear the Lord speak and bring forth deliverance. We get thirsty at times. Are you weary tonight? Are you thirsty? You desire refreshment? As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. How the Lord refreshes us from heaven through his word when the Holy Spirit applies it. That's why we turn to the Lord, isn't it? Psalm 143 verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee, as in a thirsty land. My soul thirsteth. Think of one who is thirsty. Someone comes along with some water. They stretch forth their hands. They desire mercy, please. We stretch forth our hands to the Lord. We're thirsty, we're weary. He refreshes us through his word. Good news from a far country. And we know a little reviving. Do not we know a little reviving when we're led to consider Christ again in the gospel and what he has done for us? I said it earlier, I say it again. It puts things in perspective, doesn't it? And it helps us to face tomorrow. He lives and I am saved. On we go. We know a little reviving. In Genesis 45, verse 26, Jacob's heart fainted. He didn't accept the news that Joseph, his son, was alive. He'd been upset. He'd been cast down. Now there's news, but he doesn't believe it. But what do we read in verse 28? The spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Verse 28, and Israel said, it is enough, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. You see, his heart was revived. The news was received, and his heart was revived. It was good news now to Jacob. Do not we know little of that? The reviving of the heart when we receive the good news. And we considered earlier the news in Isaiah 52, verse 7. It particularly concerns the Lord Jesus Christ and deliverance through him, but also we can think of the then deliverance that was coming for God's people. And what news it was. And there's the news of good things for God's people. We thought of the gospel chiefly, but let's consider other things that are good, that can bring refreshment to the thirsty believer. First of all, deliverance in closing. That's good news, isn't it? You're going through a trial, but the Lord brings some verses home to you and you know you're going to be delivered. Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. They cry, they're thirsting after him. How long, Lord? And in his good time, deliverance comes. Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. What news that is! Is it good news to you tonight? Or are you still weighing it up in your mind? Am I really going to get through this trial? Receive it as good news, dear child of God. The Lord will deliver you out of all your trials. One day your affliction will be over. Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, affliction may be lasting, but it is not everlasting. It may seem a long time, but one day you'll come to the final hour of that trial. What good news that is. Your trials are not everlasting. And it can lift us, can it not, to hear of deliverance. But then consider secondly, as we think of the good news that refreshes us, the good news of God's presence, help, strength and support. How many of the Lord's people have been refreshed when they were weary through Isaiah 41 verse 10? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. One was on the ground, as it were, so thirsty and weary, but God spake from heaven through his word, and there came a little reviving. I am with thee. How that puts strength into us at times. We can feel on our own. But then the Lord speaks through his word. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. You know, sometimes people come and say, don't be worried, don't worry. And that can help. But when the Lord says it, it can really lift the heart. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Deliverance will come, that's good news. But the child of God can take comfort in the trial. The Lord is with them. He's going to strengthen and help them and support them. That's good news, isn't it? Oh yes, we think chiefly of the gospel. That's good news to us. But the good news of deliverance, the good news of help and strength and so on. Oh, look to him. When you're weary in affliction, look to him. He will fulfill his word. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I have often taken those words to the Lord. The Lord having spoken to me first, I return them. Here's the promise. And strength has come. You may say, I'm weary. I feel so weak spiritually. Look to the Lord. He will not disappoint you. That's good news, isn't it? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let's consider thirdly providence. What good news this is. Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You may receive some news and it's not good. Something's happened. But then the Lord reminds you of his most holy and wise providence, that even those things are working for your good. The news of providence is good news. What good news it is for God's people as individuals. Whatever you're going through, it's good news. You receive it as good news. But it's good news for God's people as a whole. Things seem a little bleak in this country. But the good news is of God's providence. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's good news. And having received it and being refreshed, we respond with the psalmist as we sung a little earlier in Psalm 57. I will cry unto the Lord who performeth all things for me. He's spoken from heaven concerning his providence. Now I sing of his providence in the trial that I'm facing. You see, the good news of providence can lift the soul that we then respond in praise in view of his providence. Fourthly, here's more good news, the enduring friendship of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 18 verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He sticketh closer. He's near the believer. There's union. And he sticketh. That implies he's not going to depart. That's good news, isn't it? You may have had friends. They knew a little about you. And they left you. They weren't close friends. Fair weather friends. There for a while. For what they could get out of your friendship, but then gone. But you consider Jesus, he knows everything, and he's going to stay with you. That's good news, isn't it? You face some tough decision, some difficult providence, some valley, he's going to stay with you. That's good news, isn't it? There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What news that is. Remind me often of that news when I'm in trial, and may I also rejoice a bit when things are a little easier. What a friend he is. What news of his enduring friendship. Fifthly, heaven. That's good news, isn't it? What a contrast is the news of hell. That's not good news, is it? But we who love the Lord, the good news of heaven is so precious. Remember our Lord, he made known this good news to his disciples in the upper room. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The news of heaven and the mansion. Many mansions, that's good news, isn't it? And then the mansions, what a mansion. We're just living in little tents, really, aren't we? If we could even call it little tents compared to the mansion awaiting us in heaven. Look beyond this world to the better country. And the news from that better country of heaven, which is conveyed to us through the word. The good news of heaven. We're pilgrims and strangers here. We don't belong here. We're going to heaven. What good news that is. We look out on the world in its present state. We hear of wars and rumours of wars. We see the evil of men. But then we hear the news of heaven. What a blessing, simply leading on the glorious resurrection. Lord willing, we'll look at these words next Lord's Day evening, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What news that is! We shall all be changed, and we shall have such wonderful bodies. Our bodies will be so glorious, we look to that. We will have bodies in every way fitted for eternal life, in every way fitted for enjoying fellowship with the Lord. What a glorious body. I will have no decay. My body will not get old. The older we get, we have to cope with more things. A certain minister said to my wife a few weeks ago, it's not fun getting old. In the heavenly world, we will never get old. Oh, the glorious resurrection is coming for the believer. How glorious that will be. Redemption will be fully applied on that great day. Romans 8, verse 23. What news that is. Seventhly and finally, the news that the believer will be forever with the Lord is good news. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 17, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What news that is. Does it bring you joy tonight? You're going to be with Jesus forever and ever through grace. You were led to that point where you received the good news of Christ and the gospel. What news it is. And here's the news, you're going to be with him forever. The news of being with Jesus forever can revive the weary pilgrim on the way to heaven. It's enough, isn't it, the good news to revive the heart and to put strength in the believer so they can face tomorrow. What good news! Yet for so many it's not good news. But you who have believed, you know it in your heart. It's good news and all these other things. What a blessing to keep hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. To keep hearing all these things, a feast of good things to help us on our way. We get thirsty at times. This land is a weary land, as we see in Isaiah 32. Turn to the Lord. With a thirsty heart, turn to him. Refresh me with thy word from heaven. Speak to me through thy word. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Are you refreshed tonight? You may say, I will get weary quickly again. Go again to the Lord. Pray, Lord, speak to me through thy word. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank thee. We who love thee, we were given a thirst after thee. We know that so many in this world have a thirst, but it's but natural, and it's not after thee. We thank thee we were given that special thirst, and we cried out to thee, and we were found receiving the gospel as it is, good news. And we thank thee for this, and we would rejoice in this gospel of our Saviour. No, Lord, make it plain to us again and again. As we travel through this world, as we pass through this week, remind us of the gospel as we turn to thy word, that we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, bring these good things we have heard tonight to our hearts when we are weary. Remind us of strength and deliverance. Remind us of thy presence. Remind us of thy providence, Lord, especially when things seem so dark. Remind us of heaven. Remind us of our enduring friend. Remind us of eternity in the heavenly world with Jesus. Remind us often of these things, that we, like Jacob of old, would know our hearts revived in this weary land. For any without Christ, or here or listening online, if it please thee, make the good tidings of Jesus Christ yet good news to them. For if they are not believing tonight, they've not received it as good news. O Lord, work in the heart. Draw a people to thyself. May they be those who thirst after thee tonight, and they refresh through the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Christ's sake, amen.
Amen.
Our final praise is Psalm 89. And you'll see how this psalm brings it all together. Psalm 89. Time has passed a little, so we'll commence with verse 15. O greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know. The brightness of thy face, O Lord, they ever on shall go. And we conclude with verse 19. Reference again to the Lord Jesus Christ and what we needed in the gospel and in life was laid on him in eternity before this world was made. In vision to thy Holy One, thou saidst, I help upon a strong one laid out of the folk, I raised a chosen one. Psalm 89, the tune is Winchester, but commence at verse 15 to verse 19.
Oh, greatly blessed
his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace.
Amen. Amen.